Welcome to the Dürr conference call. Ralf Dieter, CEO, and Ralf Heuwing, CFO of Dürr AG, will present the Dürr Group's figures for the first 9 months, 2014, followed by a Q&A session. I will now hand over to Mr. Dieter, CEO of Dürr AG.
Yeah, thank you, and good afternoon and or good morning for those of you on the US. Welcome, everybody. It's a great pleasure for us to present to you Dürr's figures for the first 9 months of 2014. And as always, I'm joined by my colleague, Ralf Heuwing. This time, we want to devote more time to your questions and to the discussion, and therefore, we will concentrate on the most important topics of the presentation. Figures already contained in the press release will not be repeated again. I would like to start by summarizing the key highlights, giving you an overview of the results. Ralf Heuwing then will talk about our financial figures in greater detail. The highlights. The sales revenues continue to stay behind 2013, but in view of project delays, which we have already discussed in the last quarters, we will not be able to fully close the gap in sales revenues up to year-end. The service business expanded by 9% to 416 million in the first 9 months. And as expected, order intake was strong, with orders in China picking up significantly. Earnings continue to be strong in the third quarter, with an EBIT margin of 10.4%. For the full year 2014, we now expect an EBIT margin of around 9%. Cash flow and free cash flow were very strong in Q3, and net financial status reached a new record. On page 3, you see the incoming orders again exceeded sales by 17%, resulting in a record order backlog of 2.5 billion euro. This will ensure good capacity utilization in 2015 and beyond. Let's turn to page 4. The emerging markets demonstrated consistently strong momentum in the first 9 months. We received contracts worth 1.2 billion there, marking a year-over-year increase of 17%. China was up by 13% to 644 million, normalizing its share of total order intake to one-third. While order intake from North America has improved, the Brazilian and Russian markets continued to be weak. Ralf Heuwing will now take you through our financials and cash flow statements.
Yeah, thank you, Ralf. Ladies and gentlemen, let me continue on page 5. Our growth margin continued to widen in the first 9 months and at 22.5% substantially exceeded last year's 19.5%. The reasons for this include high capacity utilization and excellent order execution. In addition, the share of our service business as percentage of total sales grew to 25%, and also the successful turnaround in cleaning technology contributed to the increased earnings. The net financial expense was virtually unchanged to 14.4 million euros, despite carrying two bonds on our books in parallel. But it should drop in Q4 due to the redemption of the 2010 bond at the end of Q3. The tax rate came in at 23% in Q3 and should stay at around 25% in 2014 overall, as we can make use of our unused tax loss carry forwards in the U.S. due to a better-than-expected result. Net income exceeded 100 million euros for the first time in a nine-month period. Let's move to our cash flow on page 6. Cash from operating activities have been accompanied by a decrease of 62 million euros in net working capital due to higher prepayments. But even without this favorable but temporary prepayment situation, underlying cash flow and free cash flow were clearly positive. On page 8, you can see an overview of our work in progress and progress billings. Since the end of 2013, the payment balance with our customers has dropped by 97 million euros to a negative 303 million euros. We consider a level of around 100 million euros to be normal, so we should expect cash outflows in the next quarters. Page 9 shows the key balance sheet items. Net financial status reached a new record level of 378 million euros at the end of Q3. Gross cash reached 609 million euros after 247 million a year earlier. Annualized ROCE reached also a record high with 76% in the first 9 months. Let me hand back to Ralf Dieter, who will highlight the performance of our divisions and provide you with our updated outlook.
Thank you, Ralf. Let's move on to page 10. The positive trend in order intake and earnings at Paint and Assembly Systems continued in the first 9 months. The strong increase in earnings was due to our good quality of our order execution and gains in purchasing. Page 11 sets out the performance of Application Technology, where sales and order intake were more or less on the same level as the previous year. Earnings were roughly 10% lower, and main reason for this are the startup costs of our new industrial product business, which I will explain in more detail now on the next page, number 12. Via the industrial product business, Application Technology will be entering new markets alongside the automotive industry. We are now also offering components and subsystems for the application of paint and high viscosity materials in sectors such as plastics, shipbuilding, ceramics, wood and furniture. These products will be sold via system integrators and distributors, and in the near future also in our new online webshop. In the medium term, we want to evolve into one of the leading players in this business. According to experts, this market has an annual volume of around 3 billion. To achieve our growth plans, we are rolling out a broad product range comprising more than 4,000 products and components. The range of industrial products includes, for example, pumps, paint supply systems, and electrostatic atomizers for the paint application, building on our core competence in the automotive business. We also have a wide range of spray guns. These activities have been reinforced with the acquisition of two specialist producers, Bersch and Fratscher in Germany and EST in the Czech Republic, which we did in June of this year. Further acquisitions are possible as the industrial growth strategy continues. The Measuring and Process System division, shown on page 13, posted a substantial improvement in earnings despite unchanged sales. This was largely due to the turnaround achieved in cleaning and surface processing, delivering an EBIT uplift of more than 10 million. Also, other business areas such as balancing technology, filling technology, and end-of-line testing generated good results. For Q4, we anticipate final structural adjustments in France with a one-time impact of around 5 million. Page 14 sets out the figures for Clean Technology Systems, which showed a solid performance in the third quarter. Let's now turn to page 15. Service sales gained momentum in Q3 and rose by 9% in the first 9 months of the year. As a result, service business accounted for 25% of consolidated sales, after 22% in the comparable period of 2013. The positive trend should continue thanks to the growth in our installed base and our group-wide optimization program, Customer Excellence at Dürr. Page 16 shows that the world automobile production and sales remained on an upward trend in the first 9 months. China and North America, the world's two most important automotive markets, are in a very solid state, while the European market is stabilizing. Let's move to page 17. PricewaterhouseCoopers automotive experts have just published their latest forecast for the light vehicle market in October 2014, as shown on this page. The forecast is more or less unchanged compared to 3 months ago, with China set to remain the driving force behind the automotive industry. On page 18, we have set out the next steps in the HOMAG acquisition process. We have installed a new supervisory board, and Ralf Heuwing is now going to take over as CEO at HOMAG from December 1st. The results of the appraisal report are expected for the beginning of 2015. And this report is a condition precedent for the resolution of the planned domination and profit transfer agreement in an extraordinary shareholder meeting, which should take place in spring 2015. We will be consolidating HOMAG from October 3rd. It should contribute around 200 million to sales in the fourth quarter. It is too early to provide an indication of the earnings contribution in Q4, as it depends on initial consolidation effects and purchase price allocations. For 2015 and beyond, however, we clearly anticipate positive contributions. Let's move to page 19. Before we take your questions, I would like to briefly reiterate the main points. The first 9 months were fully on track. Order intake was strong. The shortfall in sales caused by project delays will materialize in 2015, and orders on hand reached a new record. We have achieved an EBIT margin now of 9.1%. EBIT in Q4 will be impacted by one-time write-offs in France, the acquisition costs for HOMAG, and the startup costs in connection with our industrial application product business. Nevertheless, we should be able to achieve a full-year EBIT margin of around 9%. Automobile production will continue to increase by a strong 5% annually. Looking ahead over the next few quarters, we continue to see a good order pipeline. We will be publishing a guidance for 2015 when we announce our preliminary figures at the beginning of March 2015. At this stage, we expect to see considerable growth in order intake, sales and earnings, given the full consolidation of HOMAG. So ladies and gentlemen, thanks for your attention so far. We will now happy to answer any questions you may raise, and I hand over back to Mrs. Hopf.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Ingo Schache, Commerzbank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have two questions. The first one would be on the application technology for industrial products that you've also elaborated on. Could you quantify a little bit how high the ramp-up costs for that activity were in the third quarter or in the second half of this year? And also with regards to the midterm margin progression, it seems like your competitors are quite profitable in that area. Could you share your thoughts with us in 2 years' time when you've rolled out your product range globally? Do you think this business, let's say in 2017 or so, should make a margin above your current group average margin or not? And then the second question would be regarding your revenue development. Q3 was a bit softer again, and also your new guidance for Q4 suggests that you do not yet expect growth for your old core business, excluding HOMAG yet. Just wondering if you could shed some little bit additional light on your initial thoughts on 2015, excluding HOMAG. Are you confident that it will be a growth year again, or do you think we will continue to be on this trajectory of moderate revenue decrease also in the next quarters, or do you even expect a big catch-up effect to finally materialize next year then from the deferred revenues?
Thank you, Mr. Schachel. It was a little bit difficult to understand you because it was interrupting all the time, so we hope you got your questions. But let's answer first, and then you tell us when something is missing. So first, regarding the industrial products, the ramp-up costs were basically going through the whole year in 2014, and up to now it's between 3 and 3.5 million we have invested here in terms of people and infrastructure. This business, in terms of margins, it has higher margins than the normal business in application technology. It's a very attractive market. That's why we are entering it. I think that was your first question. So we will see already a contribution. It depends on the ramp-up. We don't promise now, but our plan is a 5-year plan, and there will be, a significant contribution in the midterm. the sales development, we are totally not worried about that. Again, it's just due to the fact that some building delays, and I was just up to yesterday in China to also see one of those construction places. This is revenue which we don't materialize in 2014, but it will come in 2015. So 2015, in terms of revenue growth, will be a growth year. How much in percentage, we can tell you next when we disclose our numbers, our preliminary numbers, we have a better feel for it, but it will be a growth year in revenue next year.
Okay, good. And you actually did answer all the questions that I've already asked, so thanks for that. But if I may, quick follow-up on the ramp-up cost. Do you expect ramp-up costs next year to be higher in that area, or should we already see a positive development of the EBIT contribution compared to this year from the industrial products APT?
Let's say the ramp-up costs will decrease, but we still have costs also next year because we still need personnel to run all this operation. So we are in our plans don't expect next year a big contribution. Let's say it's more break-even for next year, and then after 2000, and so in 2016 it will start to materialize.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, pleasure.
Thank you. There are currently no further questions. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. The next question comes from Harald Remit, LBBW. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Maybe some follow-up questions regarding the industrial product. Could you give us an idea about your expected sales potential in 5 years from now on, if you have already a five-year plan, and where is currently the starting point in this business, including your recent acquisitions, and is it limited, this kind of business, and this industries you're addressing, to the components business, or do you also have plans to supply any kind of system solutions? This is the first point regarding industrial products, and the second one regarding your aircraft business. This will be come in work in Q4. So is there any effect on the P&L side from this cash component? And second one, is there any kind of an option for the possibility to acquire this business in the foreseeable future?
Okay, Mr. Rehm, it was also difficult to understand you because it was interrupting as well. I don't know what this line here is, but let's try to answer your questions on the industrial product part of the business. We have a growth plan, and as I said, the market is 3 billion, and our midterm goal is to aim for 100 million of that. That would be quite significant also in terms of contribution. We will not enter into solutions. This business is basically that we sell components to integrators, so we are not doing it ourselves. But also what is a positive impact by developing those components, we are using them also in our automotive business, so that's also a benefit for us here. On the ATS side, there will be no impact significantly, Ralf?
Yeah, I mean the transaction has not closed yet. It will happen towards the end of this year, and we expect, because of the purchase price formula, some small impact on P&L, the size of which is yet to be determined based on that formula. But rather positive than negative.
And there is no clause in the contract to define now our options to buy the whole Polite company in future. That's open.
Okay. Maybe a quick follow-up in respect to your recent acquisitions you did in the industrial products business. Where are the current sales volume where you stand now, and this 100 million figure is the target in 5 years, as I understand it correctly?
Yeah, these acquisitions are basically manufacturers of those components, and this is a very small one-digit million number. But so the growth will come basically by increasing our sales network, the distributor network, and that's where the growth will be. It will not be based on acquisitions only.
these two acquisitions only brought to you a single-digit million sales number.
Yeah, these two acquisitions were mainly for having manufacturing capabilities for some of the components. As I said, we are planning to sell 4,000 components. Many of them we have already ourselves, so they are basically selling them from our automotive business in this market. And some others from those, for example, spray guns was one of the acquisitions. And this will continue to expand if there are smaller ones coming up. But at the moment, it's not a plan for that.
Okay, thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. The next question comes from Jochen Gerke, Deutsche Bank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Just two quick ones. First of all, looking at your orders, which overall look decent, obviously, but in the Americas, the minus 25%, is this exclusively Brazil? And then could you just help us understand at the moment how you see the market for Russia as well as for the Brazilian market? Are we seeing now projects getting cancelled in light of very low utilization rates in these regions, or is this largely a function of the base of previous years? And then secondly, following on to that, when you look at your margin profile of the orders that you're currently receiving, is this similar to the margin profile you have in your sales at the moment? So in other words, are we still witnessing an industry that has has very good utilization rates, rather a pull effect from the markets, or are things normalizing and your margins in your new orders are somewhat mitigating lower? Thank you.
Okay, first question, the order probably North America, basically Americas, was caused by Brazil. As we already lined out, Brazil itself, it's our company is not facing underabsorption or underutilization at all. We are specialized as in every subsidiary on our service business, and there's still a lot of service business out there in Brazil. So we have a very good year in Brazil, and also next year will be covered by the business we see there. So that's not a problem for us. The same applies for Russia, by the way. Second question was regarding the
margin.
After the margin, sorry. I think it's difficult to give you a clear statement. I think our margin level at the moment looks more or less the same. Sure, we have always competition, fierce competition in larger orders, so there's no change situation really. Not significantly changed. But we also have to see that our customers, you can read this in the newspapers every day, they are cutting their budgets. So we are basically also driven by the fact that we are facing lower budgets and have to figure out solutions for our customer which still fits to their needs and our needs in terms of margin.
I might add that the revenue margin also for quite a period of time now has been better than order intake margin, just because our order execution has generated positive contributions.
And we are conservative in calculations. So that's also helping us to so this is a very good point, Ralf. Thank you. This trend you will see also next year.
Thanks for the clarity on the second point. But on the first one, I wasn't talking about your utilization rate necessarily. I was rather talking about the utilization rate of your customers. And looking in Brazil in particular, I think this year we're running at about 70% industry utilization rate. And it's commonly accepted thought that there is many new projects for adding even further capacity into Brazil. So
yes.
My question was rather, are you seeing that now first OEM are looking at their own budgets, take some of these expansion plans and mothball them? This causing some... No, you're not seeing that?
No. This overall capacity utilization number of the open market is a number which you can forget. It doesn't tell you anything. Yeah. The same for China. If you look at China, you see some are dropping in sales numbers and otherwise still increasing 30%. The point in Brazil is that there is a battle, in my opinion, for the future market shares going on. That Brazil is on a middle and long term and interesting market is clear for everybody, and now all these projects or these OEMs are entering the market, and for sure there will be for some time, I think, hugely overcapacity, and there will be winners and losers in this game, which we have to watch. But nevertheless, we are working on those projects in terms of execution, and there are no new ones. That's clear for the moment. but the ones which we have, there are nobody who thinks about cancellation of it.
All right, very clear. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. The next question comes from Jasko Terzic, DZ Bank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. My first question is regarding your increased guidance of 9% EBIT margin. Could you help me and say if this is including HOMAG or not? Without HOMAG, so?
No, it's without HOMAG.
Okay. And then the sales delays, can they be fully recouped in the first half of 2015? And do they might trigger further delays regarding other projects?
I have not each project now on my timeline here, but I would guess that in the first half year of 2015, most of these effects we have in the sales side. But there will maybe occur other ones. We see at the moment delays always because we have to say that our customers sometimes have very, very ambitious project time schedules. And we very often tell them this is not realistic, and at the end it happens, yeah. And some of them have been really badly delayed. That's what has hit us in 2014. Delays are normal, but not in this kind of impact we had in 2014.
Okay, and then could you also remind me on the market volume regarding painting of cars to compare it with your industrial paint market?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean,
is it significantly higher, lower, similar?
Well, in this component business we are now addressing, I said the market we see as a 3 billion market. And if you look at the overall paint shop business in the world, this is about a 2.5 billion market. So the answer would be yes, it's more. But don't forget some of those, not many, no, you're right. So that's bigger. The answer is bigger, yeah.
But okay. It depends a lot on the exact product portfolio. There will be a lot of products which we are not offering in our product range, at least for some time being.
Okay, and then finally on the reason why keeping a listing, are those costs big and why is it still necessary to accept those costs? What are the advantages here of HOMAG?
HOMAG to keep listed?
Yeah.
The costs are really not much relevant. I mean, what is the cost of keeping the company listed? Some €100,000, not more.
Yeah, I mean, we said clearly during the takeover that we have secured above 50% of ownership and above 75% of control. And this is all that we need for the time being in order to effect the changes that we would like to implement. Then secondly, we are bound to the offer price anyway for the next 12 months. So there's no, not even a need to think about further action.
Okay, that was helpful. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. The next question comes from Peter Rothenreicher, Baader Bank. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. So firstly, a question regarding HOMAG. The CEO of HOMAG, Mr. Flick, has stepped down, and Mr. Heuwing will take over. Do you think you will be able to fully compensate for the loss in R&D competency, and do you think there will be resulting from this change in the management, a massive change also in the strategy of HOMAG? And Mr. Heuwing, do you intend to take the CEO position at HOMAG as a long-term solution, or is this only intermediary? Second question regarding integration costs. What do you think can we expect here for the HOMAG integration in 2015? Regarding paint and assembly system, you had a tremendous increase in the margin, a very fantastic result. Do you think this 9 months margin is a sustainable level, or what is your midterm margin target for this business? And last questions regarding the project pipeline. You mentioned it looks still good. Do you think also for 2015, 3-4 major new products, greenfield projects are possible? And what is the situation regarding modernization in the U.S.? Is the situation still very pleasant for you?
Okay, first of all, we don't disclose margin targets of our divisions. So you're right, it's a nice margin due to effects I mentioned already, and we will try everything to keep it on that level, but it's a high level, that's for sure. On the pipeline for 2015, we have visibility from today for 6 to 9 months, and this pipeline looks very strong. So we don't see here decrease of pipeline. It's very strong. It's China. It's again China. A lot of projects still there. And also the U.S., as you mentioned, we see there projects in larger modernizations, but also in America, you know, they do now that they built a new paint shop in an old factory. And so therefore we call it brownfield, but it's basically greenfield. So there are opportunities also for next year. So we see from today's perspective that 2015 will be a good year.
Let me address your questions on HOMAG. Yes, I'm taking over as CEO of the group, and this in combination with my duties at Dürr. I think it needs to be seen that R&D is not a one-man show. It's a team effort. I believe that the R&D program that has been developed is on a good track. And the main focus of HOMAG is to implement all the things that have been developed. As you know, the company has stated an ambitious EBIT margin target itself, and the effort is now to focus on implementing and generating these margins. The supervisory board has assigned my contract in alignment with the contract that I have with Dürr, so it is not a short-term effort. Integration costs in 2015, you know, the type of integration is not to integrate department by department, but much more sort of a lateral approach. So achieving purchasing synergies, achieving the transfer of best practices from Dürr to HOMAG, and as well the other way around. So we do not foresee, from today's point of view, any significant integration costs. We may have some impact from the purchase price allocation, but this is only accounting and not additional costs.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Maura Gabero, One Investments. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Okay, the first question is on the first margin, gross margin, and on the evolution going forward. If you can give us an update on the potential benefit from internal sourcing that are left, or we have to see the benefit only coming from increase in services as a proportion of group sales. Thank you.
We're always working on our gross margin improvements and with a lot of measures. And yes, as you said, we have reached a high level on that. We will also monitor that, but the time for new guidance of gross margin is not now. We will do this then, as I said, next year, and then we have our preliminary numbers. Please understand.
Yeah, it's more also thinking about the fourth quarter, because you are, according to your guidance, you have a flat sale, so apparently a better utilization. So I was wondering if we can still expect some margin improvement on that front.
Well, we have not only flat sales, we have even at the end of the year we will see a decrease of sales, and still yet we said today that we expect an EBIT margin of around 9%, so the cost margin is then given by the difference. So is that answering your questions? I don't.
Well, Not really, because I was really wondering if we can expect versus last year, you reported a 22.2% gross margin. So if there is still space to see a gross margin evolution as we have seen every single quarter in 2014.
Sorry, now I understand better. Well, I would say that the fourth quarter from our expectation is more or less in line with the third quarter.
Okay. And finally, I wasn't quite sure I got it right. Is the full amount of one-off that you are going to book in the fourth quarter at this level, is it 5 million or there are the integration cost of Omaka to be booked on top of that?
The 5 million was due to a debt investment of a business in France, as we said, and the Omaka would be on top of that.
Okay, and sorry, can you please quantify the total amount of charges that we should expect in the fourth quarter?
So around about 5 plus another maybe 3. As I mentioned earlier, we also may have a positive impact from the sale of the aircraft business. So the balance may be somewhere 6, round about.
Okay.
6, perfect. 7.
Okay, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you. The next question comes from Christian Kurz, Warburg Research. Your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. Maybe first on your nice order intake. Can you maybe provide us with an idea how much is greenfield, how much is brownfield, how is the share developing, and also do you see the mix moving towards more brownfield projects in the near-term future? Secondly, coming back to the HOMAG acquisition, you mentioned the CEO stepped down. You will take over. What about the other board members? Do they also have a change of control clause? Have these expired, or is it possible that we see also other board members of HOMAG retiring? Then maybe some housekeeping issues. You mentioned the tax rate of 25% for 2014. Can you maybe provide us with an idea whether you will have also some positive impact on your tax rate in 15 or 16? And lastly, your CapEx figure is quite low. Is there more to come in Q4, or what is the reason why CapEx is down Q3 14 versus Q3 13 and also on a 9-month perspective?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kors. First of all, I don't have the exact number, but you can say brownfield, greenfield ratio, maybe 30, 40 to 60, 70. So still brownfield is less than greenfield. But it's more or less also sometimes a question of definition. But we see a nice development of brownfield business, as I mentioned, also in the U.S., but still greenfield is dominating here.
Yeah, on HOMAG, there are no change of control clauses for the other executive board members, and we expect them to stay on board. Our tax rate for the next years should trend towards 30%, but may still be below 30% next year. And of course, we need to still see what the tax implications of the HOMAG consolidation will be, because HOMAG also avails of tax loss carryforwards. So this we are in the process of studying this in more detail. And CapEx, don't forget the last year's level was the highest in Dürr's history, and it's the result of expansion projects around the world where we needed to adjust our capacities, and this wave has come to an end. So this year we feel quite comfortable with around about 40 million euros of CapEx. We have some projects for next year as well, which we will detail out in more detail than in the Q1 call.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thank you. There are currently no further questions. I hand back to the speakers.
Okay, then thank you very much for raising those questions. ladies and gentlemen. We always have enjoyed the discussion, and I think we have now a long time where we don't speak to each other. So what I'm told here is that in March 9th we will be together when we are planning to publish our preliminary results 2014. So all that I can say for today, thank you very much for joining us, and wish you a pleasant afternoon and a good time, and speak to you then in March. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may now disconnect.